Okay, time for one question. Do you have a question? The mic is here. The iPad. Dying to ask a question, right? Mic is here. Right.
I'd like to ask this one. Why must take an engaged vow to be enlightened? Why can't just train the six perfection alone? Yeah. Why must take the engaged bodhisattva vows? Why must take bodhisattva vows? Why can't just a bodhisattva train the six perfection alone? And be enlightened. Why?
So that Timata, part of the chamber to look to another Tamja de Quia, I am married. So look in the other Tamja Quia, I am married. Rasso Sumoni Tamja Masin Jukum Nadaka, Tamja de Quia, you come out of the summer.
Judah Malama is Sangia, you are my hero.
Tamutila. So say part of the chamber to look when I look to not Tamja de Yanaka, you come out of
If one is able to practice the six perfections, then I personally think that it doesn't have to be preceded by making a pledge, which is the vow, basically, essentially, you know. What the Bodhisattva vow is making a pledge to practice the six perfections, isn't it?
Oh, today in Zang, da, tamja chigwaya di, da, tamu singi tamja shini chugwaya shiro.
So before you engage in the six perfections, you must want to engage in them, right? You must have, it's kind of an aspiration, right? You really was want it, yeah. So, you know, that wanting it is kind of akin to this pledge, a commitment, a pledge. Tamja is to make a pledge. So imagine if you are headed to an important destination. Before you set foot for the important destination, you must have the idea. You must first have the idea that you know of going, yeah, and then you kind of want to go, yeah. That's kind of like a pledge or a commitment. Okay, I will go. Based on that, then you actually set forth, yeah, isn't it? But of course, there are people who just go wherever it takes them. You know, just go without thinking. You know, just walk. You know, so there are such cases, yeah.
Yeah, but these people doesn't reach that place. Reach different place.
So I think, yeah, if you know, if it is an important task, then that important task is probably has to be preceded by a commitment to do and accomplish that task.
Maybe like that. Huh? Okay. I'll call it.
So Jerumche Olama Tsongkhapa, in his praise of Shakyamuni Buddha through his teaching the dependent origination, in that praise, Lama Tsongkhapa mentioned that indeed that he's so fortunate to have found even just a little faith in Buddha before his life came to an end. So Lama Tsongkhapa mentioned this.
Oh, today in Zang, Tamanachi, Tamazuta, Tokire, Ban, Shunga, Lopjung Cheche, that Tondain, Shung Tapore, Anichi, Soto Kaleta, Chimbu, that Tosam Cheche, Anichi, Kwa, there's Chacha, Tindegi, Yangi, Taman, Sanjay said. Says Gavina, one of his tender temper, and it's a cow, come church, tōkō mācē nā yāng tēsāṃ kī mōnyā chīk mīzē tīla sāngyā lā chīk tōsāṃ sūyōng lā tōsāṃ chē chī tā sāngyā tī mōnyā chīk tēwa chūng sē kia bāyā nā mōnyā kāwa sāṃ parā sō tē chī kārā lō tī ndē yā nī chīk gyōntō sāṃ kōyā wā tī rā
Wā, was the same, likewise, you know, we have the opportunity to, you know, look into the Buddha's teachings. Yeah. So, you know, when you study, you know, the such philosophical teachings, they are challenging. But, you know, through whatever learning and reflection of the Buddha's teachings, if you do come to gain some faith in Buddha, and that will make you, you know, very fortunate. Yeah. So even if you don't manage to achieve any experience or realizations, but you know, if you find you're able to develop some faith in Buddha based on your learning and reflection, then it makes you a very fortunate person. Yeah. So this is something to keep in mind, to remember, and then just to feel happy, you know.
What did it? Cousin Shuan, I said, that Tombany Tim Shula, that one in Turba. Anichi, that in the Chigura there, anyone in Shenda Medal Gonson Bochae, Robert, Tindeshi and Kumbashiwe, or Tuxinita, one in Chicago some beans, or Tuxin, Junto somewhere.
And particularly, you know, having the, you need to understand and need to realize that having an opportunity, you know, to study and to learn and the Buddha's teachings on emptiness, you know, having the opportunity, you know, you're so really so fortunate. Yeah, this is something that you should keep in mind all the time.
What did it? Takanashi, Anichita, Kasoreta, Rang, Anichita, Chun, Nyambachi, Chok, and Mambushi, to them. Ani tinde ani chik chong mangpo dhumidu tinde jingi rangla ani chik da chue nyanla penpa zungse yungu yore chikpo nyambayi da kala kapu yore wasi mangpo uishi tuksin chigi chigi da chik chue nyishe chela kuma chepa dhugu chagu yore a tuksin nyamdo yung, nyamdo nye a tuksin lumsun chido gana ani wana chik chigi chigi la shiwiji ani chik za chimbo chagu yore wangan chue nyishe chinga da loma chikpa yungu shiwiji chimbo chagu yore tinzo yung kato yina ya
And also now you have the opportunity to learn together with many other people. Yeah. So you know, the presence of other people in the same class, you know, is a condition for your own studies. Yeah. Generally, it's difficult. If you're studying alone, if you're just or listening alone, you know, it is much more challenging than if you have, and then if you are, you know, doing the same thing with a whole bunch of other people. Yeah. So the presence of other people in the class, you know, makes it it's a condition, helpful condition for your own studies, and as such, then you know you can consider everyone in the class as precious, yeah, as helpful. So, and therefore, it's good to have mutual consideration and respect for one another. So, thinking in such a way is helpful.
Tinde 지금 왔다 지금 가래 당만 잔 거야 어떤데 지나야 그 소소 샘상으로 좋아해 어떤데로 간다 이거 야래
So in the monasteries, in the great seats of learning, you know, people of the same class, and people who share the same teacher, are generally a very close bunch of people, very harmonious. You know, it's like you know they feel different. It's like hey, this is my class, and oh, you know, we are in this together. Like the kind of feel. So. Of course, at times it is, you know, I mean, of course there will be disagreements, but in general, you know, the overall feeling is that, you know, we are all in this together, we are all in the same class, you know, or we have the same teacher. So that feeling of unity is very strong. So this is the culture in the great seats of learning in the monasteries. Yeah. So likewise, you know, here, you know, we could think, you know, adopt the same kind of thinking, you know. That we all in the, you guys are in this together in the same class, and so, and you know, to have that feeling of unity, and then to practice pure perception to with one another.
Yeah.
So when there's this feeling, then when it comes to activities such as discussion, then because you know there's this feeling of unity or oneness or it's kind of like friend kind of thing, you know, then there shouldn't be any problems, you know, like conducting a discussion or so forth. But without this, then you know, then even discussion may be difficult, yeah, to be able to do a discussion. Well, it is possible that at times, you know, there are such disagreements or you know between people. This is normal, yeah. But just have to keep in mind, you know, yeah, that trying to come together, the unity and the harmony, yeah. So all of you are basically looking at the same material, yeah. Isn't it? Everybody is studying the same thing. So when it comes to your learning, you know, you shouldn't have this idea that, oh, this is terrible, oh, it's so difficult, oh, you know, it's such a, the kind of feel. Rather, education should be, you should conduct your education, learn happily, you know, willingly, happily, voluntarily, you know. Well, it's the same with coming to class. You know. Coming to class, you know, you should be done, you know, willingly, voluntarily, and happily. Yeah. But in order for that to happen, whether it's coming to class or whether it's studying or learning, you know, in order for you to you know to do it willingly, happily, voluntarily, it must come on the basis of you knowing what's in for you, what is the benefit. Yeah. So yeah, like all the benefits we pertaining, for example, to the benefit of studying and emptiness. You know, we talk a little bit about the benefits and the merit and so forth. Yeah. So you know, the willingness, you know, this happy feeling of you know, doing it, you know, voluntarily, willingly, has to come on the basis of knowing the benefits, knowing what's in for you. Without that, then it may be really difficult. You know, you come to class, of course, at the end of the day's work, you come and you feel tired, but if you don't understand what is in for you, don't see the benefit, then of course, then it will be difficult, yeah. Please keep in mind all the time that you know that you guys are you know you have to understand you are very fortunate now, to be able even just to be able to do a little bit of learning. A little bit of learning. Yeah, despite, you know, living in such a busy country with such a busy life, yeah. Okay. The sutra starts with thus did I hear at one time. The Bhagavan was dwelling a mass of Vulture's Mountain in Rajgriha together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. So up to this point, up to this part of the sutra, you know, this section constitutes the prologue.
Yeah.
So the mostly the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra are classified under the Sutra Pitaka, and that would make the heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra part of the Sutra Pitaka as well. And the sentence, the sutra starts with thus did I hear at one time. So the I there indicates the compiler, you know, the person who compiled the sutra, or this particular sutra, yeah. And if the heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra falls into the Sutra Pitaka, that would make Ananda the compiler of the sutra. So, in the last lesson, you know, we looked at the compilation of the Buddha's teachings, isn't it, right? And from a common perspective, from the common perspective, the teachings were compiled, yeah, under three councils, and and what is commonly that those teachings that were compiled is now commonly known as the Pali Canon. Yeah. And those, the Pali Canon consists of the Hinayana teachings. Yeah. But if you look at the compilation of Buddhist teachings from the Mahayana perspective, yeah, then if you look at it from the Mahayana perspective, then Vajrapani will be the compiler of this sutra. So, Testida here, at one time the Bhagavan was dealing a vast mass of Alchis Mountain in Rajagriha together with a great community of monks. And by reading this section of the sutra, you get an idea that the Buddha taught and gave this very special teaching, the teaching on the heart of the perfection of wisdom sutra, at a special place called the mass of Alchis Mountain. And who did the Buddha speak to? So the teachings were heard by a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. Yeah. So which means that the listeners consists of the persons of the three lineages. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. So this indicates the cause for the question that is going to come soon. Yeah, so at the time the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration of the categories of phenomena called profound perception, yeah. Also at that time the Bodhisattva and Mahasattva Ayavalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty and inherent nature. So this put together is the cause for the question that Shariputra will ask. At that time, the Bhagavan is absorbed in the concentration of the categories of phenomena called profound perception. this indicates that the Buddha, while remaining in this meditative repose, and through that concentration, with that concentration, then he blessed Shariputra. So yeah, essentially, in this particular concentration, the Buddha blessed Shariputra, so that he would initiate the series of questions, and, which will be followed by an answers from Avalokiteshvara. Then next is the condition or the cause for the question to be asked. Yeah. Also at the time, the Bodhisattva Master the Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Yeah. Following this is the question from Shariputra. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Master Do Ayavalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity to perform the perfection of wisdom? So in the Tibetan translation of the sutra, it says, how should any son of the lineage train? Yeah? But in the Chinese translation that is purported to be the translation of the Sanskrit version, the daughter of the lineage is also there. So the sons and daughter of the lineage. Yeah. But in the Tibetan edition, which is a translation from the Sanskrit version, only the son of lineage is mentioned. Yeah. So, if only the son of the lineage is mentioned here, then the son of the lineage, you know, refers to Avalokiteshvara. How should any son of the lineage, then who would cover people who are not Chenrezig, and like, you know, like they would probably include also the daughters of the lineage. Yeah?
This one, Ricky Bulls,
Okay? Because the Tibetan edition only has the son of the lineage. Yeah? It doesn't come across also the translation fully, but the point is, in the Tibetan edition, it's only son of the lineage. So if it is based on that, the son of the lineage refers to the person to whom the question is asked. And in this case, it's Avalokiteshvara. How should any son of the lineage and who wishes, the who would cover both the sons and daughters of the lineage?
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, the if you read it in such a way, then it's okay, isn't it? Because the person who's going to practice the perfection of wisdom is not just Avalokiteshvara, isn't it? Basically, any son or daughter of the lineage. Yeah.
You clear? No.
Language thing. It works in Tibetan, but it's not reflected in the English. Because to reflect that in English, you would have to say, how should any son of the lineage? And then in brackets, and those who... But that's not... Yeah, let's forget it. It's a language thing. Wow, you know, if you do not know how to explain, then, you know, there will be problems, you know, because there were people who say, where are the daughters? Only the sons can practice. So one has to be careful, you know, in explaining such things. Anyway, in some editions of the Chinese translation, which is purported to be the translation from the Sanskrit version, at this point of the sutra, their daughter, the lineage, is also mentioned. Okay. Next, he said that, and the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Avalokiteshvara, said this to the Venerable Sharavatiputra, Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity to perform perfection of wisdom, should look upon it like this. Then the transition is made to the actual explanation. Correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty or inherent nature. Okay. So he said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayavalokiteshvara said this, the Venerable Sharavati Putra, Shariputra, any son of the lineage, and daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity to perform perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this. Up to this point in time, this is a transition. Then, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty or inherent nature, this is the actual explanation and of the actual explanation between the brief explanation and the detailed explanation. Correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty inherent nature constitutes the brief explanation. The detailed extensive explanation comes starting from form is empty, emptiness is form, and so forth. Okay. Correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty inherent nature. This section is the brief explanation. The brief explanation. And this basically indicates the general procedure of practice for the paths of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, and the path of meditation. Yeah. So this is to be applied to all these four paths. This section, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates, also as empty and inherent nature. Form is empty, starting with form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. So this section shows the procedure or the way to meditate on emptiness while on the paths of accumulation and the path of preparation. See, if you remember the discussion from the paths and grounds, the meditation on emptiness on the paths of accumulation and path of preparation is done through or via a meaning generality of emptiness or mental image. Yeah. On the path of seeing, emptiness is perceived directly. And then on the path of meditation, one meditates on the emptiness that one has seen directly. Yeah. So one is basically familiarizing oneself with what one has seen directly while on the path of seeing. Yeah.
だと 다 들으셔. 다 돈다 분봉하고 대단장 러시기 동물 넘버 따오고 세다 돈다니 다 빼나 수기 분봉은 다 분봉하고 레레네 아니 지금 돈다 돈다 들 다 수기 분봉은 신경 맞추고 마세 아니 지금 다 분봉하 초삼 태야 러시기 맞추고 레스 다 장기 다 돈다 독스네 지게도 대다 장세 수지 봉보 런싱기 마두바 마세 아니 지금 다 부모가 초삼 태아라 심부터 그랬어
부모가 뭐 대다 깡 깡대로 깡자리
다시 깡대 배신 결계 나는 요 말을 쓰신 거
말했어 So correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty and inherent nature. So the also here indicates that not only form and etc. the aggregates are empty of inherent existence. Even the collections of forms and so forth are empty of inherent existence.
What in the 가서 시바는 신에 다던다 아 다 다른 신이 동바 세 다던다 다 다지고도 라시 동바 라만의 동바 다던다 다 유지만의 마두바 다던다 이치 바이바레 와 유지만의 유기 땡네 다던다 마두바 세베지 고아치 바레
So according to the Middle Way Consequence School, emptiness of inherent existence is synonymous or same with the emptiness of existing from his own side. You know, basically, there are no phenomena that exist from the side, yeah, from their own side,
yeah. Pena macam pena milam tu nang di ni ke lampu cungkur, lewa milam ni kalau tu lampu nawa na nawa di ni hujung mana cawan ini nawa si mana, lewa zuzu rangi, par kasuan, nang jingki luyung mana pa nawa si cakap tu, as tundai kita cuit temje hujung mana ya mana, milam tu lain nang buat nasi, milam tu lain nang buat hujung mana cawan ini tu nawa si mana. 나와서 가서 남들이 남자 자식 재산 다 주도가 최단지다. 뭐 유지 돌로만 주야만 해서 뭐라 남자 비례 세시다. 근데 시관의 신사래.
So according to the Middle Way Consequence School, all phenomena are posited as mere appearances of the mind, which means that there are no phenomena that exist. From their own side, you know. Just like the appearance of a dream elephant to the dream consciousness. So, in a dream, there's the appearance of a dream elephant, but that appearance of the elephant is not coming from the side of the object, for there is no such an object. But there's still this appearance, isn't it? And that appearance is an appearance to the perceiving consciousness and the dreaming consciousness in this case, isn't it? Yeah, isn't it? It's, what is the dream elephant at the end of the day is essentially that which is an appearance to this dreaming mind, dreaming consciousness. So likewise, all phenomena do not exist from their own side. They are mere appearances of the mind.
They do not exist,
yeah.
다 던다니 못해. 다 밀람 그 낭보 낭신시. 다 유기원에 다 자원이네 맨날. 난이 루이 수업하시 책이야. 그러고 다 밀람 그 낭보 세도 난이 루이 수업하시. 티 낭신시 다 배자 다 최담시 루이 수업. 독배 다섯 명. 유기원에 내 방. 티 레시 배틀러스. 티 낭신시 선물 땅에 아니 지다 낭신이 내 방에 세라 선물 땅에 세라.
So, you know, Think of the emptiness of inherent existence now, using this analogy of a dream elephant. You know, in the dream where you have the appearance of a dream elephant, that dream elephant does not exist from its own side. You know? There's nothing from the side of the object, but it's a mere projection of the mind, isn't it? It's an appearance to the dreaming consciousness. It's the creation of the dreaming consciousness, isn't it? Right? It's not that there's a real elephant there, right, functioning, right? So, likewise, they say, all phenomena, anything that exists, exists as a creation of the mind, as something that is merely imputed by thought. Phenomena do not exist in and of themselves from their own side, you know. So we should use this analogy to understand, you know, that how all phenomena do not exist from your own side, but rather all phenomena are posited as that which is posited as mere appearance to the mind. Yeah.
자자다다지베로라다초칸다카이나다로라낭점이다타니베로라낭점이차네
So according to the Middle Way Consequence Schools, all phenomena are posited as mere appearances to the mind. You know? All phenomena are merely imputed by thought, are creations of the mind, for they are just mere appearances to the mind. Because there's nothing from the side of the object, and we should understand this based on the analogy. So phenomena, of course, phenomena exist, but how do they exist? They exist as those mere appearances to a conventional mind, conventional consciousness. Yeah, so this is how phenomena. This is how they exist. As mere appearances, you know, to the mind, mere appearances, you know, that the appearances that appear to a conventional consciousness. And if you're not satisfied with that, if you're not satisfied with that level of appearance, and if you look further, you'll not be able to point out that thing. No, it's not findable. If you're not satisfied with the mere appearance, you know, that's how things exist. Mere appearances. But if you're not satisfied with that, you poke further, you'll not be able to point, you know, at the end of the day, what exactly is that thing, you know. So that's the thing. It exists. How does it exist? As mere appearances. But if you look for it, you look for the imputed object, you cannot find. Yet it exists. How does it exist? It exists as mere appearance. We have to be satisfied with that. That's all. That's how things exist. Anything beyond that, you know, you run into problems. You try to look for it, you will not be able to find. But yet it exists. How do it exist? Just that. Mere appearances to the mind. You have to be satisfied with that. As I mentioned before, one of the most important things to understand first before you before you can even, you know, have any hope of understanding what emptiness or inherent existence is, the very first thing, one of the first things you must understand is how all phenomena are merely imputed by mind, by thought. That's the first step. You want to understand how all phenomena are merely imputed by thought. The word merely eliminates inherent existence. The word, you know, is not for fun, you know. Merely, you know, merely means, like that only. No, what it eliminates is inherent existence. You know, going back to the example of mistakening a coil of rope to be a snake. It happens, you know, at times, you know, when, especially when the conditions are there, you know, the weather conditions and so forth, or you're caught eye, you know, whatever. But, you know, it happens, yeah. So when the conditions gather, it happens, isn't it? We mistaken a coil of rope to be a snake. First, there's the coil of rope appears as a snake. Right? Of course, it appears as a snake. Otherwise, you don't believe it's a snake. But the thing is, on top of it appearing as a snake, we believe it's a snake. You see? So there's the appearance of a snake there from the side of the rope. No? And we believe. There's the ascent, the mind ascends to the appearance, believing that there is a snake there. The mind is grasping, believing there is a snake there. So this coil of rope appearing as a snake, then we ascend to the appearance and we believe that there's a snake. This then induces fear, isn't it? And worry, isn't it? Right. Without this, there's no fear, right? But with this, the mind ascending to the appearance, believing there's a snake, then the fear will come, right? But the reality is that it is just only a coil of rope. There isn't a snake there. Now, if you look at the coil of rope from the beginning to the end, you'll not be able to find a snake on the rope. Right? There's nothing. There's no snake about the rope. Right? There's no snake in the rope. There's no snake on the rope, and the rope is not the snake. That's very clear, isn't it? That's very clear, isn't it? But still, there's the mind believing that it is a snake, isn't it? So this snake is imputed by mind or not? That there's a snake there. The coil of rope is not a snake, but we believe that it is a snake. So this belief is made up by mind, right? There's a snake there. It's made up by mind, right? Imputed by mind or not?
So 다 랑글도 샥삼이 바시다 다 삼로 코고도 하고 자자다 딘데 탁바디 똑에 딱 삼시 샤시 랑글로 소즘 샤시
So from this you can see that the coiled rope appearing as a snake is a fabrication of the mind. It is not coming from the side of the rope. Yeah. No, the rope appearing as a snake is not coming from the side of the rope, isn't it? It is a fabrication of the mind. The mind fabricates, imputes snake. Then right? So this shows that the snake is imputed by mind. That the coil of rope as a snake is imputed by mind. It's completely imputed by mind, right? Nothing to do with the coil of rope, right? What do you think? Some of you don't look convinced. Oh my God. I think you're not convinced. The coil of rope appearing as a snake is a result of your mind fabrication or is due to a corruption of or is due to a pollution or corruption from the side of the rope? Huh? You're not convinced?
Oh, that took some time, but that today, you talk about do now, the, that, you know, yeah, just can I do something? So when you know, call the meeting, was it? So when the meeting, was it? You know, yeah, talk about do now, what you do? Talk about do now, the, that, let the lay, let the long term see, let the lay short term see, or what? This is what.
Well, if you look for the snake among that in that coil of rope, there is nothing about the coil of rope that is a snake, right? From top to bottom, left and right, inside, outside, there's no snake there, right? But there's still, but there's an appearance of a snake. That's the coil of rope is appearing as a snake, right? So the coil of rope appearing as a snake is a fabrication of your mind or not? Huh? So you think about it, you know? So, you know, the coil of rope appearing as a snake is a mere appearance of the mind. Yeah? It's just a mere appearance. Yeah? No? Sure no? So, by we apply your understanding of the analogy to the actual meaning, to an actual object, you know. So that's an analogy. So you apply it to an actual object. So if, for instance, if we think about the sense of I, you know, me, I. So, the sense of I or the thought apprehending I. What is this I? This I is same like, is the same like the appearance of a coil of rope as a snake. In that, is same in that, it's not the same, it's the same in that, it is a mere appearance to the mind. It's not, I'm not saying it's the same. The English is very, very careful. After you say same.
That 다시 풍부할 때네 딱 잠시시 다 돈다 다 다지로다 다시 풍부할 때네 딱 잠시래스 그러나 다시 풍부할 때네 딱 잠시래스 다 도시니 다 다지로 시작해야 돼.
So according to the Middle Way Consequence School, the I is that which is merely imputed to the basis of vaccination, the aggregates.
다디섬단노라 제가 다디 풍부할 때는 따잖아 다가 나시래 다 다시 다 수기 풍부 조약 다 다시 다 독수네 풍부 나 독수 레레네 집과 아니 집 척바나 나세디 자원이네 메디지 레레네 심체노가 다시 풍부 레레네 나세디 자원이네 메디지 어떻게 탁바 척바나 강도 체진 좀 많이 받다도 풍부 뒤 척바나 다시 풍부지 초바 간대지 땅 아이 쓰시 제바나 마세디 예매 되지 등이 충분
So according to the Middle Way Consequence School, the I is that. What is the I of person? The I is that which is merely imputed, you know, in dependence upon the basis of vaccination, the aggregates. And the aggregates are, you know, in short, the body and mind, but you know, when elaborated, there are the five aggregates, the form, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness. Yeah. So these five aggregates are the basis of vaccination, yeah, of the person. So independence upon the aggregates, and the I is imputed, or merely imputed. Yeah. So if you look for an illustration of the I, something that you want to point out that is I amongst the five aggregates, you have to look among the five aggregates, right? This is the basis of the definition of the I. So if you look for the I amongst the aggregate of form, aggregate of feeling, discrimination, composition factors, and consciousness, one by one, you will not be able to find the I. The I is not the aggregate of feeling, I is not the aggregate of form, and so forth. You know? So this is the same, you know, like in the analogy, you know, right? Because in the analogy of mistaking a coil of rope to be a snake, you know, you look for a snake in the coil of rope from beginning to end, from this section to another section, from beginning to end, left, right, in, out. You will not be able to find anything that's snake, yeah? Isn't it? Right? So likewise, if you look for the eye amongst the aggregates, which is the basis of vaccination for eye, starting from form, then feeling, discrimination, composition factors, and consciousness, you will not be able to find a point to something that is the I.
Rawa, that took Sudu Sam Tanola, the Ma Sudukala, that Fumbola, then the Tak Sam Shishash. Rawa, Takita, Tapo Dudu Nawadi, Toka Taz and Iman Nashi, that Dash Fumbola, then Cherry Nadia, that Anishi, Toka Taz and Res. Carsena, Toka Taz and Mikunzen, so Dashing when it's all in Yemen.
So you think about it, you know, what the I, at the end of the day, what exactly is the I? I is that which is merely labeled, merely imputed by thought, independence upon the aggregates, which is the basis of vaccination. Just as the snake, you know, which is merely imputed upon the coil of rope, isn't it? There is no snake on the coil of rope, just as there's no snake on the coil of rope, in the rope, on the rope, in the rope, outside the rope. Just likewise, there's no eye on the aggregates. The eye is not the aggregates. The eye cannot be found among the aggregates. But what does the eye? And at the end of the day, eye is that which is merely imputed independence upon the aggregates, just as how the snake, you know, is merely imputed upon the coil of rope.
Oh, that today then that tanda nga said it tanda y nga said it to tak some himbala, ta pedamin, ta jumata, mijuta, ta mangbujungwa, rubata pedamin good, and it shikta milam tang, and it's takja said that medayudwa, ta tanda nyungutire, ta
So phenomena are merely imputed because they cannot be found. They cannot be found among the basis of destination. The basis of destination is not the phenomena that is imputed, right? Therefore, phenomena are merely imputed. Is it merely imputed by thought? So we can use various analogies to, you know, help us understand this. Yeah. So the analogy of mistakening a coil of rope as a snake is one, and there's also the analogy of a dream elephant, analogy of a mirage, and using analogy of an echo. You know, there are many of such examples. Yeah. So the I cannot, if you look for the I, the self amongst the basis of destination, an aggregate of form, feeling, and so forth, the I is not form, right? I is not feeling, I is not this and that. So the I cannot be found amongst the basis of destination. The basis of destination is not the I. But then, if I is not there, then is the I something, is the I of a different entity from the aggregates? So if you look for an I that is of a different entity from the aggregates, you also not be able to find the I. Inside don't have, outside don't have. Ah. So the I is not the aggregates, but the I is also not of a different entity from the aggregates. So then, are we saying that the I does not exist? No, the I exists. But how does it exist if it is not one with the aggregates, and if it's not inherently different from the aggregates? And then, does it mean that it doesn't exist? No, it exists. How does it exist? It has to exist, yeah. I mean, we experience it, right? I mean, it's kind of nonsense to say that I doesn't exist, right? Right. Oh, I exists, of course. And it's commonly known in the world, huh? The I exists, isn't it? So I has to exist, definitely exists. So according to the Middle Way Consequence School, it's the pinnacle of view, isn't it? The ultimate reality. I does not exist from the side of the aggregates. So phenomena do not exist from the side of the basis of destination. Phenomena are not the basis of destination. Phenomena do not exist from the side of destination. But yet phenomena exist. How they exist? Phenomena, at the end of the day, phenomena are that which are, how do phenomena exist? That which is posited by a conventional consciousness. There's nothing beyond this, nothing lesser than this. This is about it really. It exists, but it doesn't exist from the side of the basis of destination. Yet it exists. How does it exist? It's merely posited by mind. And in specifically, posited by conventional consciousness. There's no other way out, really.
어떻습니 다 뒤치도 가라 가르사나 다기 탁바 두두 나왔나 신 퇴행기 내술라 아니면 두디 매발해 그러봐 탁바 두두 나왔나 신 탁바 두두 남겨야 돼 탁바 두 말아와 그러봐 탁바 두인받 이어 말아와 탁바 두두 남겨야 돼 탁바 두인받 이어 말아 이나야 빼나 뒤 이어 말디 이나야 탁다 가르사나 빼나 마 쓰디 야 똑배 따서는 이제 이어 말아 타고 두두 타고 두인바디 똑배 따서는 이제 이나야 매발해 당아 딱세디 똑배 따서 인바디 이나 여발해 똑배 따서 인바 충바시 이나 지금 여발 지금 매발스고
So, the appearance, it's called a rope appearing as a snake, is essentially a fabrication of the mind. It's imputed by mind, isn't it? Right? What is the I or the self at the end of the day? It is none other than that which is merely imputed in dependence upon the aggregates. So both are the same in being, merely imputed by my mind. But in the case of the mistakening a coil of rope as a snake, the reality is, although the idea of a snake is imputed, but in reality there is no snake. The coil of rope is not the snake. But in the case of the eye exists, you know. Although it is same in that it is merely imputed by mind, but one exists, one doesn't exist. A huge difference, yeah.
Oh. Today is a penata, the tapa, rudu, topasina, peja loxia chaga, tapa duzin, loxina, lo loxia chaza, lo loxia inza, that tapa dream, but never is. Tapa duzin, loti loxia, that tin, tapa dream, but yama. Penata, kansa, ani, that kansa. 강사진배 로디 양코 똑바차에 로바 똑바 튼튼차에 지나네다 네 똑바 튼튼차에 어디래
The mind apprehending a coil of rope as snake is a wrong consciousness because the coil of rope is not a snake. There has never been a snake. There's no snake there, inside, outside, on top, left, right. There's no snake. There's nothing snake about it. Yeah. So, although it's merely imputed by the mind, but in this case, there's no snake there. Right? Snake does not exist, so it's a wrong consciousness. But in the case of the thought conceiving I, me, apprehending I, this is a factually concordant thought, you know, because the I does exist.
So this
is a potentially very disturbing or complicated because you know we are comparing two things, you know, appearance of a snake, appearance of a rope as a snake, and thinking of the self or the person. Both, there's appearance of snake, isn't it? The appearance of a rope as a snake. So essentially, it's the appearance of a snake. Then, there's the appearance of an eye. Both are merely imputed by thought, by my mind. But yet, one does not exist in reality, another exists in reality. Oh, that's the problem, isn't it? Both are imputed by mind, but how is it that, how do you account for how things exist, whether one exists and why the other one doesn't exist? Yeah. So the essential point about settling the view of emptiness, you know, and completing it, you know, is that while you see that things and events do not exist inherently, yet at the same time, you can fully explain how it functions. How merely imputed phenomena, how phenomena, which are, I mean, all phenomena are merely imputed, yet they can function. they perform functions, they actually work now. Oh, that's the.
Oh, to see, today is that on that. That is on Tajula, that showed them to talk with tax and pay. So till that on the new book, betting the years that I'm in a summer town, say, that talk with tax and sell a quash. And it chopped up now, that was somebody or teen said that talk with tax and sell a carriage till a quash.
So I mean, these are the. So you know, we have to think about the first thing. You know, the thing to really concentrate on is, you know, to figure out, you know, really in our heart, you know, to really understand what it means. You know, when the consequence, when the middle way consequence school say that all phenomena are merely imputed by mind. So we, you know, to use all these various analogies, you know, analogy of a dream elephant, you know, this analogy of mistakening a coil of rope as a snake, you know, analogy of an illusion, analogy of a mirage, analogy of echoes, and all these analogies. Basically, so the first essential thing you really to understand is, are things merely imputed by mind? If so, I don't know. So how phenomena are merely imputed by mind? So that's the first thing to settle.
So,
according to the middle way consequence school, all phenomena are merely imputed by mind, by thought. So, anything that is not merely imputed by thought, but existing from his own side, yeah, inherent existence, existence from his own side, oh, that is the object of negation. Object of negation, object of refutation. This is what we need to refute, yeah, and negate. On the basis of knowing how all phenomena are merely imputed by mind, yeah, so, if you have settled that all phenomena are merely imputed by mind, anything that is not that is the object of negation, isn't it? Inherent existence, existence from its own side. And the mind assenting to that inherent existence, the mind conceiving inherent existence, the mind apprehending things to exist inherently, that is what we call an apprehension of true existence.
Ramone to what somebody that then Zen said it till a cigarette. That tea, Zen the Caras, the Zimba that Yobina, the Russian Tubas, the Matubas, then the Ludic Zimba that Yobina, then this Yobina, tell a Russian to tell a temper to us, says that.
So the mind which conceives of, conceive things and events, you know, to be inherently existent. Yeah, from their own side, without being merely, without, you know, and not being merely imputed by mind, such a mind is called an apprehension of true existence. Right? So, an apprehension of true existence is the mind conceiving things and events, any phenomena, to exist inherently. So, if things really did exist in the way this mind, you know, if things exist in exactly in the way according to how this mind views the world, then that would show that indeed there is inherent existence, there is true existence, there is existence from its own side. If,
yeah. That on the Eugene one and Duba said, Zawan in Yamas. Eugene one and Duba said, Church is Zawan in Yamas. That Doxin, that Doxin is one, the Anashin Ma said, Eugene one and two Yamas. That Ma said, Eugene one, Zawan in two Yamas. What did that? Did they do maybe that? The figure of Quaila, that Lord of the Chitown, Suman, Nashin, Jews, Jews, Sam, Chuma, Mimi, Lumina, Nashin, Kumin, Telesim, Jew.
So therefore, So it is, and so the Midway Consequence School says that, you know, all phenomena do not exist inherently. They do not exist from his own side. You know, there isn't a single atom of inherent existence. There's no single atom of existence from his own side. Everything is merely imputed by thought. That includes the I, the self, and person, isn't it? So therefore, as Nagarjuna said in his precious garland, the person is not the earth, not the water, not the wind, not the fire, not space. The person is also not a collection of all these six, and so forth. And the person is also not something other than all these. So there's this quotation from the precious garland. So in the precious garland, yeah, that's what Nagarjuna said, the person is not the earth, not fire, not wind, not water, not space. The elements, you know, the different elements that constitute, you know, the person is not each of these. Then the person is also not the collection of all these. Then what on earth is the person? I mean, the question will be naturally asked, individually, if it's not the elements individually, it's also not the collection of the elements, then what on earth is the person? Does he exist? He has to exist. So what's the answer? The person is that which is merely imputed independence upon the collection of the elements. Or you could think of the aggregates, basically, yeah.
What in the shop? What to see? Chazan ta? What to see? That too sometimes. That on that. Come, that pena, ma said that, tumbo, tashi, the conga, then zin zidogan. Tachiko. Niamin. That.
So you know, if we look for the phenomenon amongst its basis of destination. So if you take the eye or the person as an example, you look for the eye is merely imputed independence upon, you cannot talk about the eye or the person without talking about the body and mind, isn't it? So if the eye exists inherently, then it should exist amongst the basis of destination, right? Isn't it? So if you look, so the I is not this, it's not that, you know, it's not this aggregate, it's not that aggregate, and so forth, you know. So yeah, if you look for an I amongst the aggregates, yeah, you will not be able to find the I. But this doesn't mean that you have found the non-existence of the I. No, the correct analysis will lead you in the direction whereby you are beginning to feel that you are not finding the inherently existent I. Oh, that is the correct direction. It's not about finding the non-existence of the I. So the analysis, you know, the analysis should conclude, you know, with the understanding that the I indeed is not inherently existent. There isn't an inherently existent I. Yeah. The wrong conclusion is Oh, the I doesn't exist. Oh, that's wrong. Completely wrong.
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, inherently existent I doesn't exist, but we have to look for it amongst the aggregates in order to convince ourselves. Yeah. So, you know, if you look for it, you know, at the end of the day, the correct conclusion is that what you should find at the end of the day, you should find the non-existence of the inherently existent I. What you should find at the end of the day is that you find that, oh, the inherently existent I does not exist. But finding that the inherently existent I does not exist is not the same as finding that the I doesn't exist, yeah? So according to the Middle Way Consumer School, just because you have discovered that a particular object in question does not exist inherently, it doesn't mean that you have found its non-existence. It doesn't mean that when things don't exist inherently, it doesn't mean that they cannot exist. All phenomena do not exist inherently, but they exist. It's merely imputed by thought, yeah, right? Things exist. Phenomena that are existence obviously exist, but existence and inherent existence are not the same. Existing doesn't mean things exist inherently. Yeah. Okay, so things are dependently originated, dependently arisen. Right. So there are phenomena that comes about. There are phenomena that come about by depending on causes and conditions, right? Isn't it? So that is talking about the dependent arising at the level of causality. So there are phenomena that come about through causes and conditions. So those phenomena, they are results of causes and conditions. Those phenomena came about independence of causes and conditions. They are coming into being is dependent on causes and conditions, isn't it? Right? So because things are dependently arisen, things are dependently originated, therefore things do not exist inherently. So that's the essence, you know. Because things come into being, phenomena come into being, are created independent on some other factor. Isn't it? Whatever the factors may be, yeah. Therefore, that makes that particular phenomenon dependently arisen, and the dependently arisen phenomenon is not inherently existent. Something which is dependently originated is not inherently existent.
Then it's you, Adam, rushing to the cowards, or to see.
So dependently arisen and inherently existent are mutually exclusive. They contradict one another. If something exists by depending on something else, it cannot be inherently existent. Yeah. It's a auto cancellation, you know what I mean? Auto cancellation, yeah. Right? So therefore, one of the best ways and the best reasonings to understand or to gain an understanding of emptiness of inherent existence is to use the logic of dependent arising. Okay. So by using the logic of dependent arising, then one comes to understand how things are empty of existing inherently. And also you also have to account how things are exist as merely imputed by thought, yeah, by mind, yeah.
Oh, tender. Cheta, karsana, tanda, tere shivana shir. Ta nga sedu, ta samvete nga sedu, tope ta zun chage yorsi, mubane sura. Tope ta zun chage yorti ne, rang la nga sedu chayin dukala, tope ta zun chayin masayin. Zawa nina chage mido. Bo, takshi pungbuye, kwarang, chokpa ne chi nga sedu chi. Tukde wa chi, mazo loge di chage rwa. 오늘 나 동원해서 드립니다. 로이바 딱 좀 시켜도 맞아요. 이날 먼저 로러 차도 똑같다 좀 챙겨도 봐. 다리 탁배 때도 두디 똑같다 좀 했는데 진대도 나 갑라 자원 챙겨도 봐. 로이서가 챙겨도 탁배 원해요. 다시 다가 나시 변한가 먼저 나디 진도 가라 똑같다 좀 챙겨도 봐. 봐 다시 코로나 원이 예대하시 먼저 진대.
See, we'll go back to the analogy of mistakening a coil of rope as a snake. Yeah. So there is an appearance of a snake right there from the side of the coil of rope, isn't it? Although, now we have concluded, right, that appearance is a fabrication of the mind, it's a creation of the mind. That appearance is not coming from the side of the rope, isn't it? Yeah. That snake is just a mere imputation by thought, right? That's the reality about it, right? But that is not how it appears. Although the snake is just merely imputed by mind onto that coil of rope, but in that scenario, the mind does not realize, does not see that it is merely imputed by mind. Right? There is the appearance of a snake right there, projecting itself from the side of the coil of rope. Right. Although that's not the reality, but this is how it appears, isn't it? The reality is that it's merely imputed by mind, but nevertheless, the appearance of a snake is coming right there from the side of the coil of rope, from the coil of rope. So likewise, although the I, in reality, what the I is, the person of the self is none other than that which is merely imputed in dependence upon the aggregates, which is the basis of designation. But when we have a sense of I, right? It doesn't appear as merely imputed. No way, never ever for us. Never appears as merely imputed. It appears, the I seem to exist amongst the body and mind. You know, we think it's coming right there, completely from the side of the body and mind. Body and mind, or body or mind. You know? But somewhere in there, something, somewhere, don't know, just there. You know, something so real, right? Tio. You realize the object of negation? Oh, fantastic.
Take point of great realization. Inherent existence.
He's doing better than Shantarakshita and Baba Viveka.
Chezang,
So while that's the reality of the eye and all other phenomena, they are just merely imputed in dependence upon their basis of vaccination. In the case of the person, the eye, the self, it is none other, it's just that which is merely imputed in dependence upon the aggregates, which is the basis of vaccination. Although that's the reality, but that's not how the eye and phenomena appear to us. They don't appear to us as merely imputed, they appear to us as existing right from their own side, from the side of the basis of imputation. Not only is there the appearance, oh, that's not the real problem yet. We completely assent to the appearance. We believe completely in that appearance. This is how it is, you know. It exists in the way it appears. And this is the root of our circling in samsara. This is the root, the final root, yeah, the ultimate root. Yeah. So, like, you know, going back to the analogy of mistaking a coil of rope as a snake, you know, although there's no snake from the side of the rope, although the snake is just a mere imputation by mind, but there's the appearance, yeah, of the snake right there from the side of the rope. And not only is that appearance, we ascend to the appearance, we believe there's a snake there. And because of that belief, then there's fear, isn't it? Although there's no snake there, but yet our belief there's a snake there causes the fear, all the problems to come. So likewise, all our problems and suffering comes from assenting to this appearance of an inherently existent I, believing that the I indeed is inherently existent. So in the sutra, the section which says correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also is empty inherent nature. That is a brief explanation of a brief explanation of the emptiness of inherent existence. Yeah. The extensive explanation comes after that, starting with the fourfold emptiness. Yeah.
Stop here, huh?
Okay, so finish off the usual prayers. So,